On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Well, if you weren't here last week, I shared a word for 2016 that the Lord gave me. I'm going to do a brief recap on this word, and then we're going to segue into the message today. And I talked last week about when we become a Christian, we begin to run a race, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not. We begin to run a race of faith. And this is a lifelong race. It's a marathon. We don't cross the finish line until we go home to be with Jesus. But statistics are showing that many people are dropping out of this race due to discouragement and to life's distractions. Anybody got distractions in life? According to Barna Research, 3,500 people a day are leaving the church unhappy. They're dissatisfied with the church, they're unhappy with it. Many are leaving the church. Many are walking away from the faith altogether. In other words, quitting the race. 4,000 churches this year will open. That's good news. The bad news is 10,000 churches will close their doors. God is calling us to be finishers of the race that we've started. And the word for 2016 is finish. If you start, and begin small. You know, the little things. You know, if you start the dishes, finish them. You know, if you don't focus on just being a finisher of the little things. And I believe that becoming a finisher will grow into the larger, more important things. I shared last week about how to become a finisher, and which applies even to our daily activities. The first thing is that we need to stay focused. Any of you ever go to do something, and next thing you know, you've gotten distracted two or three times, and you're off doing other things, and it's so easy to become distracted from what's truly important. The second thing is to tighten up. Toughen up. Toughen up. New you, that's tighten up. But we're to toughen up. And you know, none of us like adversity. None of us like trials and things like that. But we embrace them. Adversity handled properly can strengthen us and will give us the endurance to run the race. You know, and then third is embrace community. Running the race together is far easier than doing it on our own. And because there are days that we all need, we're feeling pretty sluggish, and we need people to come alongside of us to give us that encouragement. We're going to continue, speaking of finishing. I started a series on 1 Corinthians last week. We're going to finish it this week, or this month. And the last point I made about being a finisher is embracing community. We're going to take a look today and at one of the important benefits and aspects of running the race together in 1 Corinthians 14. So let's read the first verse, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Chapter 13 is the love chapter, if you're familiar with that. And Paul says, pursue love. In anything and everything that we do, our motivation has to be love. What Aaron did and the team that surrounded her for the Golden Bridge Manor, it was a motivation of love, and people were blessed. You know, what Amber coming up, pouring out her heart on this ministry, Hope Buddies, and to help special needs children and their families. It's an act of love. Love can motivate us to do some amazing, amazing things. And Paul says, pursue love. Everything we do, the love has to be the motivation. And he goes on to say, but yet desire spiritual gifts. but especially that you may prophesy. Now, let me ask you this. How many get up in the morning and just think, man, I got this desire for a cup of coffee and spiritual gifts? You know, just, I mean, our spiritual gifts even on our radar screen, you know, and walking in our spiritual gifts. You see, if we're motivated by love, then we're going to want to use our spiritual gifts because God gifts and equips each one of us. And it's when we walk in those giftings that we make the greatest impact on the lives of others. If we come to church with thinking, well, how can I be blessed? I hope it gets done on time. I hope Pastor Joe doesn't run long again. You know, and what can I get out of it? I'm not sure that's a love motivation. I mean, there are times where I'll need to, we need, you know, because we're hurting and stuff, but when we come, it's like, what can I do to be a blessing? And when we move in the spiritual gifts that God has given us, others benefit. Others are blessed as a result. The Corinthians needed some guidance specifically on two spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. But there are two spiritual gifts that Paul talks about because there were some problems going on in the church regarding these particular gifts. And and they were prophecy in the public service and tongues in the public service. All right? Those two gifts were needed to be addressed directly because they were not being used properly, so the blessing and the benefit was not being realized, minimized at best. And you know what? Prophecy and tongues are still a huge problem in churches today. Not so much from the abuse, but from the lack of use. I'm not sure where or when or why the church has set most of the spiritual gifts on the shelves, but that's what's happened. And the church doesn't realize the benefits of them, and getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but you know, spiritual gifts just aren't on churches' radar screens, especially in the public gathering. You know, we are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the spiritual gifts, but yet, where are they? Where is the manifestation of the spiritual gifts? And it's not a decision. It's God moving through us. We just need to be open to that. But if it's not even on our radar screen, it's going to hinder the church's ability to minister. And I want you to think, the title of my sermon today is Happy Church. And, you know, what makes for a happy marriage? It's when you do a lot of things right. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect husband or wife. There's no perfect church. But when you begin to do the little things, a lot of little things right, it is a very positive ingredient to an overall healthy and happy marriage. And understanding spiritual gifts in general, and specifically, you know, prophecy and the role it plays in a public service and tongues and interpretation, having an understanding of that is just one ingredient that can make for a healthier, happier church. Okay? And so you may say, well, gee, you know, that's, you know, to be honest, when I started preparing this, I'm thinking, how do I make it relevant to our world? You know, and if we understand this, and this is one ingredient that goes into making a quality church, I don't know about you, but I want to come in and get encouraged and built up. I'm getting ahead of myself. And things like that. But I just want to make sure the spiritual gifts are on our radar screens individually, as a church, corporately. See, Paul knew that the Corinthians would greatly benefit from the proper use of these gifts. And right now what's happening is because in the past, you know, churches have gone into this trend of got to be relevant, you know, and we got to have a church service that reaches the lost, that connects with the lost, and I don't disagree with any of that, but what has happened was the things like spiritual gifts have been put on the shelf. Well, you know, people who are don't know Christ, who are of an immature faith, they may not understand that, so, you know, we'll just set it over here. And all the benefits are never realized because they're put off on a shelf. And Paul is, or they get abused and we go, oh, you know, that's, you know, we go from one extreme to another. We abuse it, so we put it over here and we don't use it. Let's take a look at some of the benefits of prophecy and why prophecy is an important part of church life. In chapter 2, and verse 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. So what we see here is that Paul says, pursue love, but desire spiritual gifts, and especially that we may prophesy. And he goes on to talk about, he gives three benefits of prophecy in a public setting like this. Number one is that of edification. And if you look it up in the Greek, edification, it is a building term. That means it's to build up. An edifice, to build up. How many of you know the church is a place that people should come to get built up? There's nowhere in Scripture do we have the authority to beat up one another or to tear down one another. We're not a demolition team, you know. We are a body of believers who gather together to encourage and to build up one another in this race that we're running. And prophecy can play an important role in building up the faith of others. God can use a prophetic word to confirm something to you, something you've been praying about. And, you know, oh, God, just, Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? And all of a sudden, a prophetic word comes, and it's the very thing that you've been asking God to give you an answer on. And that person who spoke the prophetic word had no idea what you're going through, which is further confirmation that God is speaking to you. You understand what I'm saying? You know, let's believe God for the supernatural. Let's believe God for Him to move in the realm of the Spirit in a way that, okay, if the world doesn't understand it, let them at least be in awe of it. You know, we can compromise so much in our attempt to be relevant to the lost and that we abandon the things that Scripture tell us to walk in and to do. So the first benefit of prophecy is that it will build us up. And so when we gather together as believers on a Sunday morning, prophecy is part of getting built up in the faith. All right? The second thing prophecy does is, first is edification, second is exhortation. And what does exhortation mean? It means to strengthen and to encourage, to come alongside. Now imagine you're running and you're starting to get weary, you're starting to get tired, you're starting to get discouraged. You know, then all of a sudden someone comes alongside you. You know, and because when your mind starts going down, you're discouraged, you're weary, you're fatigued. It's not a healthy road to go down. Thinking about quitting, how much longer can I do this, yada, yada, yada. And if there's no one there to help bring you back to that healthy place, you can make some very, very wrong decisions. So if you're running a race and you're having those thoughts and someone comes up by saying, you know what, man, I believe in you. I want you to know that Chris, there are times that man, I've seen what you went through in the prison. You and I have sat down and talked, and there are times that I get discouraged in my own job, but you stuck it out and you were faithful, and I drew strength from that. And you're going, oh, really? Wow. You know, and all of a sudden, it's not quite as difficult to run as it was just a few minutes ago. You know, prophecy can be that type of friend that comes alongside you. And it's that encouraging word from the Lord, whether it's, you know, prophetically or even someone just coming up and just not knowing your situation, speaking into it. Prophecy prophecy is meant to be a friend to us. It can be that right word spoken at the right time. Proverbs 15:23 says, "How delightful is a timely word." How delightful is a timely word. But then the third benefit of prophecy is that of consolation. That means to console and to comfort. Let's face it, I don't care who you are. I don't care your background. It doesn't matter. There are times when life hurts, and we need the comfort of others. I know that firsthand, and many of you have reached out and expressed your love and in many ways, and you appreciate that. You just, people care, you know. And prophecy can come along as a word of consolation. It can bring comfort in those difficult, challenging times. You know, someone can speak out a prophetic word without knowing what this person or that person is going through. And they're like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you know I needed that word." You know, and not only it can build up or encourage, but it can bring that sense of comfort, you know, because sometimes, like I said, we just have to gut things out. You know, you just I talked about endurance last week and toughen up, and you get through it, and you're wiser and you're stronger as a result, and you move forward. So Paul talks about the benefits of prophecy. Then he goes on and talks about the superiority of prophecy in verse 4 and 5. He says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." All right? You speak in a tongue, you build yourself up. But one who prophesies edifies the church. "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying." Paul makes a huge distinction between the use of prophecy and tongues in a corporate setting. He said, "If one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." It's our spirit speaking to God. And that's a good thing. But if someone spoke out in tongues in a corporate setting, the only one that's going to benefit is the one speaking it, because it's a direct communication to God. No one else understands what is being said. And so Paul, therefore, is saying that one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who speaks prophetically edifies or builds up the church. Because if someone gives a prophetic word, we all hear and we all benefit. We all understand what is being said. And he said, therefore, prophecy is greater than tongues in that it benefits those who hear. Now, hear this clearly. Paul does not discourage the use of tongues in a public setting. This is important to understand. He's not discouraging it in any way, shape, or form. He's trying to bring proper order to it. In verse 14 and 15, he talks about it is important to pray in the Spirit, and it's important to pray with our understanding. We sing in the Spirit in tongues, and we sing with our understanding. And that benefits us. You want to build yourself up, just spend some time singing in the Spirit. Nancy Ann does a lot of that. Pray in the Spirit, and it builds you up, but others aren't going to benefit from it. There is a time and a place for tongues, usually in our personal prayer lives. Jude 20 says, "Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." I think praying in the Spirit, I don't think it's an optional thing. Well, you know, I'm tongue stuff, you know, I don't go for that stuff. And I don't know about you. I need as much help as I can to be built up in the faith to live in this world. And one of the best things that we can do is to get alone with God and just pray in the Spirit. Like I said, probably 70-80% of my prayer time is I'm just walking around praying in the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, waiting on God. And you are building your spirit man up. But understand, it is important to pray with our understanding as well as in the spirit. All right? People will come up or I'll tell someone, I'm going to be praying for you. So when I'm in my prayer time, I specifically name them by name and I pray that prayer for them that I promised them. And I know, I says, you know what? I fulfilled my promise and I prayed for them. So I prayed with my understanding. I think it's important. But also, I make sure I spend a lot of time praying in the spirit. Now, let me tell you when tongues in the public worship service is appropriate. Because there are times that tongues in a public gathering like this is appropriate. It is when there is an interpretation of those tongues, which is another gift of the Spirit. Okay? And tongues and interpretation are very similar to that of prophecy. I was at a class working on my ordination and several years ago and just in a group and the teacher said, let's just pray. He said, let's just pray in the spirit, you know. And so we're just on our own. We're just individually praying. We're praying in the spirit. People are sitting around and this guy next to me started getting all excited and he was a missionary from Romania or someplace. And he told me afterwards that you know, I'm just praying in the spirit, just building myself up in the faith. And you know, I wasn't speaking out in tongues as a gift in a public setting. I'm just there praying and just, you know, just worshiping God, praying in the spirit, building myself up in the faith. But he could hear me and he got all excited. And afterwards, he said, "You were praying in perfect Romanian and you were worshiping and praising God." I'm going, "I don't know Romanian, you know," but that is just how God does it. And it's just further confirmation that, you know, some people say, well, I don't want to pray in tongues, so I don't know what I'm saying. Well, God, it's our spirit communicating with the Lord. Paul's very clear on that throughout Scripture. And there are so many stories that I've heard over the years that just bring further and further confirmation to the importance of tongues. But tongues are appropriate as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit when there's an interpretation. And it's a step of faith to speak out in tongues, and it's a step of faith to give interpretation, just as it is a step of faith in giving prophecy. But understand that the purpose is to be a blessing to the body of Christ, is to edify and to exhort and to encourage. And if we let fear hold us back, we're robbing others of a blessing. Now, understand that there's a learning curve, you know, the first time I gave a prophetic word, I was 18, 19 years old in the service, and I froze halfway through it, you know? And I left that night, and I woke up the next morning. The sun still rose in the east, and Jesus was still on the throne. And people were encouraging. The world didn't come to an end. Rome didn't burn down, you know, that type of stuff. But I learned through it, and I just slowly gain confidence in speaking out prophetically. So I just want to encourage us as a church to be more open to the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic and tongues and interpretation. But a sermon like this has to be given so that we have a proper understanding of the framework of it, all right? We have to understand that the spiritual gifts are for the purpose of blessing others. It's not about us. You know, we pray in the Spirit on our own, we're going to get blessed and built up. But the manifestation of the spiritual gifts is to be a blessing for others. And if our heart is filled with love and that's what motivates us, then we're going to want to learn about these gifts and embrace them and move in them because God might use me, you know, to bless Paul, you know, or someone else, and I want to be that blessing. It's so much more satisfying to go home being a blessing than receiving a blessing, because what people don't understand is when you are that blessing, you receive a greater blessing than you ever could otherwise. Does that make sense? Okay. So it is what it is. All right, I want to wrap it up by reading the last two chapters of the verse, Paul is kind of summarizing everything in 1 Corinthians 14 and by these last two verses. And I'm not going to do expository preaching through every verse. We're going to cover a chapter a week. And Paul closes out the chapter by saying, therefore, kind of summarizing, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. You know, it doesn't say, hey, if you think about it, prophesy. It doesn't say desire to prophesy. It says desire earnestly. You look up that word earnestly, it means passionate, to take this thing seriously, all right? Desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. So, I won't ever forbid speaking in tongues in a public setting. But Paul goes on to say, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. You know, our God is not the God of chaos. He is a God of order and that type of a thing. But he's not going to do it for us. He's given us the gifts to move through us. And when we start exercising these gifts, it's a faith-building experience for us, as well as being a blessing to other people around us. Let me ask you this. How many of you still have unopened gifts from Christmas? Besides Wanda. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you probably have taken your Christmas tree down and you've probably, I don't know how many people, you know, just sit around and say, there's a Christmas gift for me. Almost middle of January. Someday I'll open it when I feel moved by God to open it. And the gift sits there and it sits there and it sits there. No, that gift is mine. All right, let me open it. Open that sucker. I want to, you know, see what's in there. We wouldn't think of leaving Christmas gifts unopened. What's the joy in that? I mean, how insulting would it be if someone walks up to you and says, hey, Gabe, great year in football this year. Man, here's a gift I want to give you. Gabe says, oh, thanks. Toss it off to the side. You going to open it? Well, I don't know. When I feel moved, I might. How insane is that? How absolutely insane is that approach? But yet, that's the very thing we do to God. He has given us these spiritual gifts, thanks, Lord. If and when I feel moved of the Spirit, then maybe, I'll open these gifts and start utilizing them. But how's it going to benefit me? It didn't benefit me. Oh, it benefits others? Oh. This shows where our maturity is. If we make it about us, we're still immature in the faith. But if we make it about others and realizing that these gifts, these amazing spiritual gifts God has given us, can be that blessing, it can be that lifeline, it can be that oxygen for somebody on any given Sunday. Man, I want to rip that open and I want to learn how to walk in these gifts. And I can guarantee this, that the more spiritual gifts a church opens and utilizes, the happier and the healthier it will be. Instead of losing 35,000 people a day, the church just might start gaining 35,000 people a day. People like to be a part of a happy and a healthy church, a happy and a healthy home, a happy and a healthy environment. And the spiritual gifts can help a church be happy and it can help a church be healthy. And Paul, again, he concludes chapter 14 by saying two things: desire to prophesy. Now, God may not give we may not all have the gift of prophecy, but if it's a desire, he wants to give good gifts to his children, Scripture says. I believe that there are some people who the gift of prophecy sort of just resides within them. And I know Pam Smith is one that moves with the gift of prophecy. And I have seasons where I move prophetically. And there are some that God may just want to use one time as a gift of prophecy. It's up to him to give and to distribute. It's not, well, I think I want to prophesy. You know, I like this gift. I take that one. No, not that one. And no, it's not our choice. It's just saying, Lord, how many of you say, well, someone gives you a gift. No, I don't want that gift. I like this one over here. Can we give it? Nah. You know, sometimes it's silly the way we treat God and our attitude toward what God gives us is we wouldn't think of having that same attitude if someone else was to do it. So he summarizes it, desire to prophesy, do not forbid the gift of tongues, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. So, are you pursuing love? I mean, are you walking in love? Not our own love, but the love of God. Because the love of God compels us, it motivates us, it stirs us. And we combine that with spiritual gifts. We'll want to understand what our spiritual gifts are, and then we'll want to learn and study of them so that we can utilize them, so that I can be a blessing to Paul. I can be a blessing to Paul and to Teresa and to Steve and to Angie and to April, Chloe, and on we go. You know, because when we're a blessing to other people, we leave feeling there's a satisfaction that is greater than any kind of self-focused blessing. I want us to stand, and we're going to pray for a fresh release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this church. We have something called a gifts test that you can see Nancy Ann, and she'll direct you in taking this test. But these are gifts of the Spirit. They can be, in a sense, seem supernatural at times. Sometimes they seem very, not all that supernatural, even though the source is the Holy Spirit. I want a happy church. I want a healthy church. I want a church that yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. And again, things are done decently in order. But first, church, we got to bring it on our radar screen. We got to bring the spiritual gifts and we got to desire them. We got to pursue them. And we have, I believe, a responsibility that we have to ask God what gifts he's given us and then to help us to discover them and to move in them. And there is a learning curve where you're not going to be real confident. You grow in that and you mature, just like riding a bike. You know, the first time you rode a bike, you may have tipped over, but the more you do it, the steadier you became and more confident you became. Same thing with moving in the gifts. Father, we just come before you this morning and we just ask that for a fresh release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this church, in our lives, but especially, Lord, that we may prophesy. Because, Father, we know that when you speak to us prophetically, to prophesy, Lord, we know that people are going to be built up, they're going to be encouraged, and they're going to be comforted in the faith. And, Lord, I love my brothers and sisters, and I want them to be built up and encouraged and comforted. Lord, put that desire within each one of us. Let us love one another so much that we would overcome our fear of moving in any of these gifts. That we'd make ourselves vulnerable. That we may be a blessing. And we ask you for your glory and for a healthy and happy church. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.